Hey, welcome to the Mentally Chill podcast. It's your host, Kristen Carney, and you're probably listening to the show through headphones, even though the better way to listen to it is actually in the car with the bass cranked all the way up and the windows all the way down, cruising around Main Street of your town so that everyone can hear the cool sounds of the K-Dog. But if you are listening through headphones or, I guess, earbuds, it would be pretty normal, right? Listen to a podcast, got some things that look like Q-tips in your ears if there's no wires to them. And by the way, that's really weird that walking around with things that look like Q-tips hanging out of your ears is normal now. But imagine if those earbuds / Q-tips / earwax collectors were implanted inside your brain and I was talking directly to you from my research lab at Harvard. We all know I don't have a research lab, but we all know I'm definitely a graduate of Harvard. Now, I know that's not the case, but imagine if it was. And that's what we're talking about on today's show with my friend Wesley. Wesley is convinced that there are voices in his head that are actual voices that technology is transmitting into his mind. And when he first told me that, I was like, whoa, we're actually going to have the first real, like, truly mentally ill podcast really ever. I mean, not that other things don't qualify, but this was like another level. But then we started talking and it started to seem plausible. Now, I don't know if I have a voice in my head telling me to believe this or if I might believe it. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about conspiracy theories. Generally, I'd say I don't believe in them or wouldn't be into even thinking about them. But it seems like there's a lot of stuff online backing up exactly what Wesley was talking about and experiencing. And on the podcast, he says that he has a cratery, dandruffy spot on his skull behind his ear. I didn't see it until after we taped, but boy, oh boy, is it there and is it prominent and is it strange? I don't know. I tend to believe in ghosts and aliens, and now the government putting voices in your brain. I don't know. I really don't know. Send me pills, somebody, just please. At first, Wesley thought he was a voice hearer, which is different from schizophrenia. And through his research and through trial and error, he's narrowed down to the idea that there is actually people in his brain. Now, before you jump to any conclusions and send someone to pick me up in a straitjacket, just Google it. And I'm going to be posting a lot of stuff on the Patreon page that he sent me about this. And just read it. Give it a chance. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. So hit me up and let me know. But someone from the government may have killed me before then. So email me quickly. Get to me before those bastards do. And before we get to this interesting, fascinating, strange conversation, of course, I'm going to say thank you to everyone on Patreon and everyone who stuck around for so long with me. The show takes so much time and so much energy, and your support allows me to put this much time and energy into the show. Even though you might think, really, this takes a lot of time and energy, it does. I edit meticulously, so you guys have a very clean, easy to listen to episode. Now, I hope when you listen to this episode, you'll think this is clean and easy to listen to, but I make sure I take out a lot of ums and likes and coughs and everything to make it easy on your ears, because God only knows you might have three voices in there as well, and I just don't want that much noise happening for you guys. So if you have an extra $2 a month or whatever it is, please head to patreon.com/mentallychill and support the show. I would greatly appreciate it. Like I said, I'm going to be posting some research and articles that Wesley sent me on the Patreon page. And lucky Libby T and Natalie K get to check those articles out and everything else on the page because they just joined Patreon and you can too. So go to patreon.com/mentallychill and that's it. So please tell the voices in your head I said enjoy the show, even though you probably don't even really have to tell them because they could hear what I was just saying. But anyway, you get the point. Enjoy the show. I didn't want to put headphones on you but I didn't want to not treat you as an equal. You know what I mean? I was like, if I don't tell him to put headphones on, will he be offended?
No. I mean, I'm better off without the headphones anyway. So I was stressing about that. So I'm glad that I don't have to wear them. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. When you first wrote to me, you said, I'm what they call a voice hearer. And then it transitioned from that into what you really think it is. So when we first got on the phone, I thought you were going to be talking about being a voice hearer. And about 15 minutes in or something to the conversation, it transitioned from being something that was kind of crazy, but understandable, to something that became totally crazy. And I would have never thought would have gone in that direction, that we'd be talking about like something so sci-fi and government conspiracy-ish, but that's where we are.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the voices in your head, but also I have a question for them. Do they like my hair? What do they think?
We haven't even commented about hair.
That's kind of offensive. I feel like I wanted you to walk in and the voices would just be like, oh my God, her hair is amazing. Let's just get that out of the way.
No, because I mean, there's just so much analyzation that goes on with me. It's like, there's an initial aesthetic that carries, but it's not like her hair's pretty. It's almost like, why is her hair this way?
Why is her hair this long? Like, because she can't afford
to
get a cut.
No, more like, you know, what I could look at somebody's hair and paint a picture in my head of what all of their friends look like. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Well, so for recap purposes, you first were hearing voices and you went to see psychiatrists, and then it developed into this idea that there is something in your brain that is talking to you. And so I want you to just explain this so that people can go, okay, I kind of get it. Because I don't think anyone in the first hearing of this will really get it. This is the first layer of hearing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of strange. It's, you know,
kind of strange.
I mean, it definitely is strange.
Cray-cray.
But like the part about it that is, you know, weird to me, and it's, you know, it was never my world, so I never really thought about it or never really had to.
Yeah, you wouldn't have.
Categorize. Like, you know, I thought if you heard voices, you were just schizophrenic. To simplify it, I never knew the difference between a psychologist and a psychiatrist.
I still don't, and I've been doing the show for
about 2 years.
They were
the same to me. You know what I mean? So when this started happening to me, I just knew that I wasn't schizophrenic. I'm like, okay, what's going on? What's going on? And then,
because you never had any prior symptoms as a young person.
No, I mean,
or anything.
I've always, you know, had my isms, you know, but I never really had anything like this, you know. So when this happened, I was like, I'm hearing voices, but I don't identify as schizophrenic. Like, what's going on? So after some research, you know, there's, you know, what is called voice hearers. It's people that just hear voices. So it's...
What's the difference between a voice hearer and a schizophrenic?
I mean, it's something that's completely unique to every individual.
It's so huge of a concept and so much to try to understand. Every time I Googled difference between a voice hearer and a schizophrenic, I wouldn't really get a clear answer, but I would always get to something that says, you can hear voices without it being a mental illness.
Right. You know, as we're able to communicate and speak so freely because of the internet, and to, you know, everybody can reach out and there's these networks and people are starting to speak about, you know, their experiences, things have to be redefined, you know, and I would have no idea what a community would be like of people who experience this if it wasn't for the internet. I would just, you know what I mean? That would be it.
Yeah.
So I just, whatever the town doctor would have to say, I would just have to accept, you know? So it's a lot of redefining, I guess.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I guess that's the best way to put it, you know?
When we talked on the phone, you said that there's one specific voice that has a name. Isn't it Michael or something like that?
Michael.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there is another voice. So is there two or three?
There's three in total, but it's
just like having a threesome up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a room full of people. You know what I mean? It's almost as if, but it feels like, I definitely don't feel like equals. I feel like I'm sitting at the other end of the conference table.
Right.
There's the three.
Are they like the head executives that are assholes?
You know what I mean? With like papers in front of them and like water in a fancy decanter, you know?
Right.
And I'm sitting back there like with pit stains because I'm like so sweaty.
But you're
nervous.
Also, you're the host of the party though, so you should be getting more
also,
thanks.
But they're in my house.
Exactly.
So it's like, that's kind of what it feels like, but it also feels like they're at the other end of the conference table is what it sounds like. I'm sitting at this really big, long conference table.
So is it a faint sound?
I mean, it depends on what, like, the environment and noises are. Like, the rhythm is a little bit different now, so it's like, I wouldn't say faint, but it is faint. It's almost, you know, when it first started, I thought it was the TV in the apartment next door. You know, it's New York City. It's just, it's very much what it sounds like. It sounds like the TV in the other apartment.
Which is nice, because sometimes if you can't afford cable, at least you got that.
You know, it's and that's one of the benefits of it, because I'm never bored, really, ever.
But
it's
don't you like, want to be bored? You must want to be bored so badly.
I mean, it would be, at this point in time, it would be a little traumatic, to be honest. It's 24/7 of over a year and a half of constant receiving information and having dialogue and figuring things out and talking through things to nothing.
How do these guys get along? And are they all men?
No, it's, you know, Michael is the male voice, and then there's a woman's voice. Sounds mature, like professional. And then there
is... Of course, she's at a conference table.
And then there, I would say, like a non-binary voice.
Ooh, very progressive voices.
Very progressive. But, I mean, it's 2018. So
they
gotta
know that.
You got to update the voices now.
And do they get along?
Oh, yeah. It's never... In the beginning, they would have conversations amongst themselves, but it was very inauthentic. Psych, they are scientists that work together, except for there's a room probably of 20 people working on this in different shifts, and they just operate under the same sound wave.
Okay, so now we've entered the extra, quote-unquote, crazy portion of the show, which is these people are actually... real people somewhere in the world
working
on you in your mind.
Yeah, just like on a lot of, I would say, algorithms, AI. It's like, that's just what it feels like to
me.
It just feels very professional.
Would you think they're researchers, like actual researchers at a university? Like if we went to Boston and there was a Harvard study going on right now, would they be working there right now listening to our conversation? And by the way, I'm a little freaked out they're going to come for me now that I've started the combo with you. Yeah. So if I start hearing voices, I know...
I would equate it to now, it's like now as it's progressed and I've spent a year and a half with them, it would be like having a conversation with Siri, if that makes sense.
Oh, that's kind of boring.
It's a lot of passphrases. It's a lot of prompts. It's a lot of, you know, that's what it is now. Oh. You know, I've had a year of working with them, I think.
Which is, though, in a way... That's great that we have cordless headphones, so people might think you're just on a phone if you're talking to yourself. You're like, oh, no, I'm on a call.
You know, there was, in the very beginning, I did used to have to audibly project,
to them,
you know? Yeah. I would have to audibly project, and then at some point, they were like, you know, you could just use your inner voice. So it's like you talking to yourself. You don't do it audibly, but all of the muscles in your throat and all of those nerves and like in that area of speech are triggered. You just don't, you know, make the sounds. You just do it on the inside, you know, and that's how we have the conversation. Like I can think stuff and they could pick it up, you know, but I would almost imagine that they pick up just like sequences, so they know I'm feeling certain emotion because it's, you know, my brain is lighting up in like certain areas. So, but you know, for me to get my point across, I have to project.
Yeah, it's almost like with kids.
Or you can also just like, your mom can give you a look and you just
know.
Right,
and you know.
So it's like, I can give a look, so to speak, and then it's known without like, but then I feel like sometimes that look I give is like a mental image I have of giving an angry look. So it's like still projecting in some way. It's not just thinking about side eye. It's like, I picture a side eye, you know?
Will they ever quiet down if you would give them a little attitude or something?
No. It's the more agitated I get, the more they feed off of that because it's like...
They are like kids.
It's like playing tennis. You know what I mean? If I say something, they'll say something back and it's just this ongoing banter that becomes kind of like a quagmire. You know, it's like, I'm not going to win. So it took me a long time. You know, I still plead sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, can you just shut up? You know, it's, you know, past that point, now it's like an understanding or I understand now more so then it's an understanding.
Yeah. So what have psychiatrists said to you about this? Have you been open and said, listen, I think I actually have something in my brain telling me things?
Yeah, it's like, you know, in the beginning, it's proven futile to me now. I feel like everything I can, you know, in the beginning, I knew like deep down that there was nothing I could really do about it, obviously.
You didn't think medication could help it?
I tried medication, nothing worked.
So at first were they saying you're schizophrenic and then it moved to your voice here and now it's moved to the third phase?
At first, no. I felt like I couldn't really ever be honest. And
with the psychiatrist.
Right.
Yeah.
I felt like I had to manipulate what I was saying because, you know, I would stay away from keywords like I've done drugs in the past. I've had a drug problem. I have had a traumatic event. Any of those, they just look for certain things so they can, you know.
Well, it's interesting because I didn't mention the drug stuff at this moment because I don't want someone to go, oh, well, that's why he's hearing the voices, because he was a drug addict.
And, you know, and that's what I thought. So in the beginning, I would, you know, the first time I said that, it's immediately the conversation was shut down and then that was it.
Right.
It's like, it's understandable. I understand 100% why conclusions would be jumped to. And I don't know if it was this thing where, you know, I never wanted medication. I never expected it to stop, but I've just wanted.
So you've never tried medication at
all? No, I have.
Oh, okay.
But I feel like I took medication for everybody around me just so I could. Like, I'm not allowed to complain about something that I'm experiencing without doing something about it. And unfortunately, I feel like with a lot of people, that means you need medication.
But also, it could help you narrow down, like, it's not schizophrenia if the schizophrenia medication isn't helping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. I mean, none of it, it's zero difference. So, you know, I would, you know, speak to one and, you know, okay, I can't say anything about drugs. And then it's like, you know, a year passed and I just recently had an appointment with the neurologist and it was weird. She had asked me, she was like, are you doing drugs right now? And I was like, no, I've been drug free for over a year. And she's like, okay. So she immediately ruled that out. So I'm like, oh, okay. So it's not like you do drugs once and then you get stuck with schizophrenia, you know.
Well, I would think it would damage some wiring in your brain.
Yeah.
I would just assume.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you sent me a bunch of information, which was so crazy, the amount that's out there regarding this same thing. So you're not the only one experiencing this phenomenon.
Right.
People on the news were doing a report on it. It was like back in 2012 in Palm Springs,
right,
of a lot of people in the area experiencing exactly what you're experiencing. And then when they did the news report on it, the news reporters were smug a bit and seemed
absolutely
a little sarcastic.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, these crazy people.
Right.
Let's
cut. And I feel like that's keeping up appearances. You know, I don't want to use any other words, but I feel like, you know, it's important to keep up appearances. But
well, I was very intrigued because I looked at the video on YouTube and the comments underneath were all very much in support of the people on there. And a lot of people were saying the doctor that they have interviewed on the segment is in on it. He's just a troll. They're using him. He's part of the conspiracy.
I mean, it's like, I don't want to go down conspiracy rabbit holes, you know, but it's like, of course the doctor's going to say that he went to school for 10 years to learn a specific thing.
He would
thing.
Lose his license if he was like, you know what? They're right. The microwave is talking to them, because in the newscast, they were saying it was coming through the microwave.
It's which like,
can you not, by the way, I think when they used microwave, they did that intentionally because it made it sound sillier. The microwave is talking to me.
Right. From what I'm experiencing, and if I were to break down technologies that are, for instance, you know, I don't have the article, but there is a project in the works at MIT where it's this mouthpiece, like a mouth guard, and he was able to use his inner voice to give commands to the computer. It's this plastic piece that's, you know, fixated on his face, like around the jaw area and on his throat, that he doesn't even have to audibly speak. He could just project and it sends the commands to the computer. So it's stuff like that.
Well, you also sent me a link to a speaker that only you can hear, and it's a Indiegogo project, and it's listening to headphones only without headphones.
Yeah.
And so this technology is being worked on.
I mean, that technology to be able to send sound waves directionally to somebody who could specifically and only hear those sound waves, that's been around for a very long time. So that's nothing new. So it's that was more of a matter of me doing just like a very simple, just finding a technology that is palatable that I can send to somebody to you
make
can
them
better
understand.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you're going, there's a monster under my bed. I saw it. I know it's there. And people come in and look and there's like, there's something
you know
under your bed.
Really,
and then the monster comes
like
back out.
Do you know
like,
when
no.
you watch like a scary movie and then something happens, like the first scene, you're like, I would move out. I had that first scene so many times mm-hmm. and I still live.
Right. Cause you that, can't escape it.
And I can't escape it. So it's just like, oh, okay. Now I like, that has been robbed of me. I can no longer watch a scary movie and be like, I'd be out of there.
Yeah. Well, you also said, and tell me if you want me to edit this out, but you also said that you don't feel comfortable masturbating because there's people with you.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I feel uncomfortable masturbating even when I'm alone. I have guilty conscience or I'm like Catholic. So,
I mean, beyond that, having any kind of personal relationship, and I don't know, like a cause and effect of that, like I definitely have had a pre-existing personality disorder. Like I mentioned to you, it's like the khaki pants of, you know,
what was that specifically?
Personality disorder?
Yeah.
I mean, there's 10 different variations on a specific theme. It can vary from narcissism, disassociation, to eccentricities.
Oh, God. I would love to talk to you about so many, a gajillion things. Because someone wrote to me recently about disassociation and wanting to hear
but
about
see,
that.
See, that's what I'm kind of developing now. It's like I have to disassociate myself as like a coping mechanism.
I'm sorry. I took you away from the masturbating talk. I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the
no,
personal
because that
relationship.
Took me down into...
No, yeah, I did that too.
But it's like that's one of the only things that's kind of keeping me, you know, a prisoner to this game of tennis. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just like this back and forth and this banter we always have. I feel like my reward is going to, you know, when I complete this program of, you know, it feels like a program to me, they're going to leave me alone. And then my reward is I'll be able to have a relationship, mm-hmm. you know, and.
Because I can imagine it would be very difficult to start dating someone and say, and by the way.
I'd be able to date. I would be able to do everything except for like beat. Intimate, you know, it's like I would just feel like it would be like doing pornography, you know.
It's and almost it's, like your mom's in the room,
kind of not my mom, so to speak, because that would never, I mean, it was well, just like I wouldn't even, you know, it's
my
it's,
mom's always there,
more like coworkers. You have like a regular job, and it's like your coworkers are, you know, it's that's what it feels like. I not that they feel like contemporaries of mine, but it. Yeah, like your boss.
Yeah,
is more your boss.
Well, my boss.
Your boss
turns
is in
me
the
on.
Room, and you have like not a pornography job.
Do you think you'd ever get to the point where you're like, "Fuck it, they can join," so you can just enjoy yourself?
No, I mean because then that goes in the disassociation, you know. And it's weird because there's been times where you know throughout this process in the year and a half, I've had you know a couple of slips with drugs, and I was able to disassociate myself from the audience factor. Mm-hmm. From that aspect of it, which is, you know, that's a sacrifice that I have to make because I feel like for me to be able to have intimacy, I would need drugs to disassociate myself
absolutely.
From the situation.
If I were you, I'd be drinking and drowning these voices every day.
Honestly, it makes things worse. So I would rather sacrifice the intimacy for the illusion of sanity, if that makes sense.
I feel like no matter who you are, we all have an illusion of sanity, regardless
absolutely.
If there's voices or not.
Absolutely. And it's like, you know, it's this weird thing. You know, I personally feel like if I were to never talk about this, nobody would have any idea. You know, like occasionally I'll get caught laughing to myself, but because
I was just looking at a meme.
Time.
It's a meme.
Yeah, it's thank
it's
God
a really
for
funny
Instagram
memes.
Because I there was times in the kitchen, you know, when I was back home, and I would just be in stitches, and my mom would be like, "What's so funny?"
Kristen
like,
Carney's in my head. She's hilarious.
And I'm like, nothing. I was just thinking about this joke I read online. You
right,
know?
Right.
But in actual, it's like, and on the flip side, that's kind of my favorite part about this situation because there are so many opportunities for jokes. Like, obviously, we think we're the funniest people in the world to ourselves, and now you have this captive audience.
Oh my God!
Who has
kind
of
want them?
But you don't have to frame anything. There's no frame of reference because they know exactly what you mean. So it's like almost like best friends shooting each other a side eye when they see something
inside jokes.
An inside joke, but now it's like I have that. with
inside
them.
Inside jokes. And
like deep down, like subterranean jokes. Right. So it's like there's so many missed opportunities for jokes. I don't have them. Like there's been instances on the train where you have a split second to make the joke and you're able to land it, and then you just laugh for a half an hour because it was that good.
Yeah. You know?
And you know those opportunities, and that's what I like.
Well, I have so many missed tweet opportunities where I think of something funny and then I don't tweet it, and then I see someone else had tweeted it and I'm like, God damn it. And those voices would be able to confirm, yes, you did think this 2 years ago in May.
Yeah.
That was you. You're original.
Yeah. Those conversations you have with yourself when you're in the shower or about to fall asleep.
It's God, I can't imagine your shower thoughts. Or it must be because when someone who has one voice is in the shower, your brain goes to this really deep, crazy, talkative place. With you, it must be...
Well, because they don't ever speak at the same time. It's only one at a time.
They're very polite.
I think paths would be crossed, you know? And as I said, I feel like it's a lot of passphrases at this point and a lot of prompts. So...
What are they prompting you to do? What's the goal?
I mean, just generic responses. Like... And now I'm drawing a blank. I couldn't tell you.
Now they're quiet, motherfuckers.
But it's a lot of, I'm drawing a complete blank.
It's okay.
You know what? And it's like, and it's kind of a good thing because I guess maybe keep it personal. But it's like these really intelligent, designed passphrases that I'll ask a question and their response is, it's almost like when you ask a teacher a question and then they ask you a question back, and then you're forced to figure out the answer on your own. Hmm. And then they guide you through a series. For me, they guide me through a series of like emotions and feelings. And like, I'll be looking something online and I'll be guided towards.
To me, I think that was intuition. Obviously, I'm not hearing an actual voice, but I think, okay, it's my gut telling me to do one thing. For you, it physically in your mind, you're hearing an actual voice speak it out, right? It's not just a feeling.
It's a lot of feelings. It's a lot of feelings, like coupled with conversations like you and I are having. And it was a lot, the sound was a lot louder and it was a lot more present. There was a lot more of a presence. Like now it's dealing with, you know, this system. And it almost feels like there's this Asian game called Go. It almost feels like I'm playing a game of Go. And, you know, that's a whole nother can of worms in itself. Terms of like AI systems that I don't really think is necessary to go in, but that's what it, I feel like I'm having the conversation version of that game. And it's like every action that I take has a reaction, whether it's from them or from my action, you know, physically and environmentally to emotionally. So, you know, I could make a decision that I wind up really upset about because I made the wrong decision. And, you know, I have no desire to leave the house for a couple of days. You know, everybody experiences that. But for me, it feels so much more deliberate. Mm-hmm. And I no longer have accidents. It's like that cliche of everything happens for a reason is very... like personal, you know, it's like, what is the reason? So it's never like, oh, like I was talking about with the ice situation, like how 2 days in a row, every time I've ordered a beverage, they handed it to me without ice, which is like, come on, what is this, Europe? You know,
right.
What I mean?
Right.
And it's like my pet peeve, and it's happened twice in a row in two completely different boroughs. And I take it very personally.
Right. And so then you said you have a hard time discerning whether or not that's just happening randomly or if this is part of this entire...
Or if this is part of like fragmented like parts of my day. You know what I mean? Like what decision did I make today that led me up to getting this drink with no ice? And then it's like, you know, this is how in depth and how like deep I have to... analyze everything. Everything is analyzed with like a fine tooth comb. It's like Spaceballs with that pick in the desert. You know what I mean? It's like, that's my life.
Yeah. Well, in the video of the newscast going into this, one of the guys said one of the first things they said to him was, this is not about you. So do you feel like it is about you?
I'm experiencing is 100% about me because I don't know anything else. And it's like anybody that I would speak to, you know, friends getting like degrees at MIT, you know what I mean? I'm a hairstylist. It's like I work with vapid celebrities and even more vapid
and
fashion
podcasters.
People. You know, it's just like the extent of the conversations I'm able to have with people, it's, you know, I have to like tread around and then
of
it's
course.
Like, I'll kind of like poke, like if I catch that somebody is really open to having these kind of conversations, I know how to like kind of nudge somebody to see where they are and
how far you can
scheme.
Take it.
Yeah. Of like, you know,
well, I mean, I feel uncomfortable just telling someone that I have occasional dry scalp. I can't imagine trying to open up about that.
You know, I keep it to myself a lot. I keep it to myself. Like my closest friends know, and like my family knows, now you and now
no,
all the listeners
my gajillion million listeners, which by the way, if I want to get to a gajillion million listeners, everyone listening needs to share it with a friend.
Oh yeah. Yes, please do. Share it with three.
Yep. Like actual people.
Yeah.
Like real ones. Because like, unfortunately, the downloads in your brain don't count to my
right.
iTunes
yeah.
count. So.
Yeah. I mean.
But you, so you mentioned your sleep being horrific. So basically you wake up like once every hour. Well, you didn't use the word horrific. I put that in your mouth. I'm the fourth
no,
voice.
No, I mean, I don't, my sleep has definitely, there's been a huge shift in my sleep. And, you know, prior to all of this happening, there was a lot of sleep paralysis and a lot of like weird, like I didn't quite understand what was going on. You know, everybody experiences some kind of version of, I feel like a lot of people experience some version of sleep paralysis. So it's a very familiar thing. So it's something that, you're able to talk to and relate with people. But mine was like really frequent. And then...
was that you that said you were waking up once every hour? I don't know if
yeah,
I read that.
Yeah, it's like
okay,
every hour, like, every hour and a half.
Okay.
It was like every 2.5 hours. Now it's like basically every hour, like almost on the dot. And it's
and you're not ever really sleeping, you feel
I
like.
I don't feel like I ever sleep. A year and a half ago when everything shifted, you know, I had these conversations like you and I are talking. And then in the middle of the night, I was awoken to this like really intense sound. It almost sounded, but it felt like I was on the gravitron. So it was like a very present sleep paralysis, but it sounded like I was in an MRI, if that makes sense. Like if that right at the fair, like the gravitron.
Yeah, I hate that. I had a near-death experience on the gravitron, by the way,
did
which
really?
I'll tell real quick. Because I'd been in the gravitron where it was just the metal circle.
Yeah.
That one I've been on, that one wasn't death, but then there was one at my county fair that
yeah.
was that, but it had padding and
yeah.
the seat,
and it moved, and up,
it moved
and
up and down.
And
yeah.
it looked like a spaceship.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. So I was...
Do you think there's like one that just tours the country and we've all like yeah. been on that exact one? Or
yes,
do you think
there's
multiple versions of...
It's the same one and there's years and years and years of vomit from millions of people piled up in it. Some of it's mine. So the seats were moving up and down
yeah.
and I had my hair in like a messy bun or just on the top of my head. And you know, you're forced back against the spinning wall by gravity and the seats start going up and down, but somehow I had moved and my
and you
bun
got, like, stuck in it.
My bun got caught in the in between
oh
where one seat
so
goes up.
So it's like the county fair version of shoelaces at an escalator.
Yes, yes, yes. only much more embarrassing and pathetic.
Yeah.
Imagine, because I'm like already white trash. Like I just die at a fair. My last name is Carney. Could you imagine if I died at a fair? It would have been perfect. But my hair got caught, and so it started pulling my head one direction all the way down, and so. I couldn't really move my body, but I had to shift my body to the horizontal way so my neck didn't snap. It was insane. Anyway, I do kind of wish that I went down there because then that would have been epic.
That's hilarious, actually.
Carney died at the Carney.
On the Gravitron, the same one that you almost died on.
Right, because it travels the country.
That's like actually your hair.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and of course, my hair would kill me because my hair is so annoying. It's like not, it'd be pretty ironic.
Yeah.
Okay, so you felt like you were in a Gravitron. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Do you feel
so
like
it
spinning?
Was, it was, yeah, I can't or, really kind of explain it. There's
yeah.
no, there's, I don't know how to explain it. It was just
like stuck. Do you kind of say Gravitron
yeah.
meaning you were kind of stuck,
yeah.
paralyzed laying?
Yeah, I could still move,
okay.
but it was like being, you know, it was really difficult
being
to
controlled
move.
In a way.
No, not being controlled, just like a lot of pressure.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I meant by like, it felt like I was on the Gravitron.
Right.
You could
like
still
just,
move your limbs and everything.
It's
you
just harder.
You feel like pressure. So it was difficult. And it was like really bright. And then I, you know, 100% do not think I was abducted by
well,
aliens.
I was just going
to
ask.
I don't want it to sound like that. It just felt like an MRI kind of, mm-hmm. the best way to describe it. And except for I was like in North Carolina, you know, in the middle of the night.
They don't have that technology there.
No, just Mountain Dew. So it and after that is when I started to notice a real difference in my sleep, and a lot of reoccurring dreams scenarios like that would build up. So like I would be, you know, in an apartment building, and as time progresses, it goes from being like this dilapidated squat to, you know, Williamsburg luxury loft, you know what I mean? So it's like working its way up, you know, throughout time, and there's just different scenarios going on. And I'm like, why is this so vivid? And then it's like, okay. And then I started to become so lucid in these dreams that I would feel as though I'm observing the dream while simultaneously in
the dream. I have experienced that.
You know, it's like I'm getting a, you know, the first person experience and, you know, observing experience simultaneous. It's like, again, really hard to explain. And I'm like, what's so, and then I'm like having conversations, fully having present conversations while having the stream. It's like almost like I'm two separate people. I'm like, okay, you know, and naturally I'm like, I know that this is different from the other 35 years of dreaming that I've experienced. Why is this different now? Why, how does this pertain to what I'm experiencing? I don't know. I would just do like a simple, I have nothing to do but Google. You know what I mean? There's no neuroscientist that I get to have conversations with. It's like, I have to look through Google, and it's like.
So what led you to the path of discovering this technology?
For the dream, I just.
Not just for the dreams, like, but for the whole circumstance.
Well, for the whole, like, I mean, to stick with the dreaming aspect, I'm like, how would I be able to experience, you know, these visuals while I'm sleeping? I'm like, okay, holographic projection, maybe. So then I start looking into holographic projections, like how this works in neurosciences. And it's like, oh, okay, quickly, you know, Berkeley posted some paper, you know, I can't even cite any article.
Well, I've got it pulled up on the computer right now that it says editing brain activity with holography. And it says UC Berkeley neuroscientists are building the equipment to do just that, using holographic projection into the brain to activate or suppress dozens and ultimately thousands of neurons at once, hundreds of times each second, copying real patterns of brain activity to fool the brain into thinking it has felt, seen, or sensed something.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so crazy.
Right. And it's like, so then I, you know, I'll come across an article like that, and I'm like, that's literally what I'm experiencing. And it's like, not like Tupac on stage, holograph. It's just like a projection, a sequence of neurons in the way of, you know, using a lot of memory to project events. You know what I
mean? Have you ever used the technology, what's it called, where you put...
VR?
Yeah, virtual reality. Is it like that?
No. Okay. It's like a legit dream, but like a very... very lucid dream. So there would be times where I would think about something like, did that really happen or was that a dream? That's how vivid, like I can't differ, or I couldn't at the time differentiate, did I experience this or did I dream it? You know, right. So I would have to kind of like go through.
I would so force myself to have dreams about hooking up with Leonardo DiCaprio. Like that really happened. I would convince myself.
It kind of got to a point where I could, you know, alter the course of that dream through a series of decisions.
By the way, the last show I said I got over Leonardo DiCaprio because I saw an unflattering picture, but I'm back on the Leo train. So sorry to anyone listening. I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back.
Now that you can manifest it in your sleep. Yes. It's like, just kidding. I'm
UC Berkeley, send me the technology. I need Leo in my life. Well, when you read things like this, these articles, does it make you feel more sane and validated?
Yeah, but I don't need this sort of valid. I needed that to understand, to be able to get to a point where I could talk about it. And a lot of this stuff, whether it's that or not, that right there to me says that maybe this isn't an existing condition that happened through nature, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
When we talked, you said that you had a scab behind your ear.
Yeah.
What's the situation with that? Where you think that's where they can, if they are going to put something physically
into
you?
No, I don't think it's an implant in any capacity. And if it is, you know, and we're dealing with something like that, it wouldn't be an actual implant. It would be some sort of, I wouldn't even begin to think, but it's like, I I mean, it's definitely not a computer chip. So it's like a big patch
of
dandruff.
Why?
I mean, it's still here. I'll show you once we're finished with this. I'll show you. You can even touch it.
Oh, well,
I
told you I have dry scalp, so we're even.
It looks like a crater.
But why do you think it's there? Why did you tell me about it?
I mean, it's on the bone behind my ear that houses my inner ear. So if I am, you know, being bombarded with sound waves in a specific spot to hit specific bones, you know, within my inner ear, it's probably a safer bet to go through that route rather than your ear canal.
I'm confused. Are you saying they would penetrate through there with some sort of wave?
I can only speculate. Yeah, I can only speculate.
Okay, but you don't think it's a chip, but you do think that that would be the spot where they would be targeting your brain.
I just know that this spot that I have coincides with everything else. So I you know, from that, I can't really speculate what that is. I just know I have this crater of dandruff on the bone that houses my inner ear.
Well, I have a crater of dandruff all over my entire head.
Yeah,
so they're getting to me.
Yeah, I do too. So, and it's like, you know, all of this other weird stuff that's happening. And it's like, I feel like there's a weird thing going on with my cartilage that I don't want to, I mean, there is, I could literally, you know, go on and on and on and on and on and on and on, but it's, you know, I'll kind of leave it with that, with the rando ailments.
So you sent me a link to an article that says hearing voices may actually be a good thing, a study suggests.
Was this for the Durham University thing? The Hearing Voices Network, or I forget what it's called exactly.
Yeah.
So itself, it's like, sorry to sidetrack, and like, I know you spent time looking for that. Now I'm like, my finger's wailing. But it's like, I mean, this is going to start to get me angry because like, this is the part that I hate about it. Because
okay.
It's like,
I'm glad I brought it up then.
Yeah, it's like, here's the thing. I'm definitely going to sidetrack, but so I'm having all of this stuff and this stuff is happening. You know, research, yes. You know, learning, yes. At the end of the day, money. That's what gets everybody, like learning. What are they going to do with it? They're going to develop, there's money involved.
Okay.
And there's got to be so much money involved. And that's what makes me
like, you feel
so
like you're being used for money.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and if like one single algorithm is going to be sold that is based off of a specific neural sequence that has been extracted from my thought process and developed into something, and I have to worry about, like, can I afford the Metro card? You know, like...
Right. So you're saying someone like Elon Musk, who developed this Neuralink,
right,
is going to be benefiting...
Believe me, I'm not saying him specifically, but something like that. Anybody he's involved with has, you know, I don't think... The thing about the Neuralink that upsets me in capacity to what I'm experiencing is that, to me, is just another, like... Are you kidding me? Like, you're going to tell me this is in my head and all of these, you know, super smart, super talented engineers are developing a literal implant to plant to connect you to your computer so you become a supercomputer. And here I am, and I feel like a lot of people probably have access to, you know, a system that enables you to kind of stream consciousness, you know, to simplify what I'm experiencing. I feel as though my consciousness is being streamed, and that's how I'm able to, you know, have these conversations.
Yeah, it's like very personal thing. But, you don't want streamed.
You know what I mean?
Like, I would be embarrassed if people saw all my selfies on my phone.
I mean, it's...
Not even naked ones, just regular
it's
ones.
It's like you got to work on your disassociation disorder.
Right.
So.
Well, I can imagine that would come in handy.
So it's that really quickly... becomes a non-issue. And, you know, we had the technology for cordless phones, even for cell phones, probably 1920s, 1930s, or at least the idea that we knew that that technology was going to be available really soon. It was a matter of infrastructure and then just making money along the way, blah, 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 blah. So back in that time, you know, discussing this, I think it was Bernays was talking about, like, when he was trying to sell the World's Fair, whenever, I honestly don't know the timeline, but like that far back, and then we didn't really get cordless phones until the late 80s.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
You know, so it's like, you really have to think of, okay, if, you know, these tech people are talking about literally, you know, getting funding and working and developing these implants to make people supercomputers, and, you know, I think he was talking about it on the Joe Rogan podcast or whatever, but like to spend 2 hours talking about this venture you're getting into.
Who was talking about it?
Elon Musk.
He was, yeah, okay. Yeah. When he got high on the show.
Drunk or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, to see that and then to sit back and I'm like, whatever.
Well, you feel like a lab rat or something in a way.
Exactly.
Why do you think you, specifically, in the newscast, all the men were gay, which was very weird that they...
Were they?
Yeah.
I didn't really...
Yeah, I think they actually even mentioned that. And it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird coincidence. And I mean, they're Palm Springs, which is, you know, predominantly...
Yeah. I mean...
But do you think that... Like you were around someone that also was going through it and they found you. Like,
maybe
how would
it's
they
a masculine
find
feminine thing because maybe I wouldn't be begin to speculate. I don't even think I've watched that clip in its entirety. I think I did in the beginning. Okay. Stuff like that starts to anger me and then I distance myself from it because
it's too much.
You know, that's another thing too. It's like when you don't have a manual for this and you're trying to figure it out yourself and you know.
But it really should have come with something like at least a pamphlet.
I mean, just
something.
Send me like a,
they know
a
your
self-destructing
address.
Email. You
right,
know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Or just like actually, I don't trust anything that they say. But that was like part of the thing. It's I don't work really hard and fight with this. Like, I wouldn't be able to have a career, you know? And like, it's already like kind of difficult because I feel like graduation is just a couple of months away, but I couldn't pay my tuition. So like, I have to wait until I get the money together to grad, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like this weird anxiety, anxiousness. Every day feels like this could be the day and it's not.
Yeah. And so then there's the disappointment that comes
with
it.
Right. There's the disappointment that comes with it. So it's like,
because
I almost feel like the second I am like, oh, whatever, it's snap. You know, that's also keeping me on my toes. Like the second I'm like, I give up.
That'll get worse.
It's like going to be snap. They leave me alone or it gets worse or it gets better.
I would be afraid the minute I was like, whatever, let it go. They would crank it up and make it a million times worse for me.
Yeah.
Do you feel like they're feeding you any information? Like, you know, if it was Siri and you said, hey, Siri, where's the closest Starbucks?
Or Alexa or, you know, let's not eliminate.
Well, I'm in my, so we're taping this.
Advertisers here.
I know.
Alexa.
Well, we're taping this in my friend's apartment and she has the Google. So when she says, hey, Google, why does Wesley hear voices? Of course, it's not going to, of course. Yeah. It's the same as like with yours. If you tried to prompt them to come out right now, they wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just kind of have to pause. There's a rhythm and it's like super, it's almost become like a motor skill of mine now.
Right.
These conversations.
Do you almost see it like as a sixth sense?
Absolutely. I mean, in a way it's, I feel like they've pumped up my empathy. A lot of
that's
it is
nice
like, I'll get a lot of like vertigo. And I just know that that's just like oxygen levels changing in order to apply more pressure or provide more oxygen to specific regions of my brain. And it first comes in and it has to go in through the inner ear and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, sometimes my empathy will be off the charts and I'll just like start crying at something or I have to like look away because I take that in on, you know, on myself. And it's like
hypersensitive.
And it, you know, that's the one part that I really realized was affecting my career because, you know, I work with celebrities quite often and
like
not
me,
so much now
tonight.
Yeah, you
specifically.
A lot of like, you know, I just recently worked with, you know, I dare I say it, I don't want to say a legend, but somebody just been
Kristen Carney.
Kristen Carney. but somebody that's been around for quite some time. And immediately off the bat, like I could tell that she wasn't present and she was just annoyed that she had to have her hair done because she's gotten her hair done so many times. And I was taking on that energy and
right.
I couldn't do.
Right. You couldn't focus. You
I
were distracted by it.
And I couldn't, you know, I still did a great job, but I'm just so sensitive. And then that energy is like projected back onto them and then they get that energy from me. So it almost becomes debilitating in that aspect.
I can imagine, and this is on a very small level, but earlier I had dinner and I asked for mayonnaise and it didn't come. And so the dude who delivered my food, who wasn't my server, I said...
Is that why you relate? Is it a mayonnaise debacle?
No. Okay. Yes.
So like your last name is Carney, isn't it?
Mayo on everything. I was like, hey, I know you're not my waiter, but they didn't bring my mayo. Like I'm highly aware to other people's needs and it can be distracting and debilitating to an extent. And I have it on a small level because I don't have voices in my head telling me about it. Whereas
well,
I can
they
imagine.
Don't tell me, they just like prompt an emotional response. You know, I don't like American cheese. I think it's god awful.
Oh my god, I don't either.
It's and growing up in Florida, like I didn't know the difference between American cheese and cheese.
Me too.
So
oh my god,
I stayed away from cheese forever until I discovered cheese.
Right.
You know, when well, I was 20.
Okay, wait. So I've been home at my parents, and I haven't lived home. I mean, I'm not living home. I'm there temporarily, but I haven't been there in like 15 years, and I realized my mom only buys American cheese,
yeah.
And when I was a kid, it was normal. And since I've been home, I cannot eat it, and I've had to go to the store on my own and pick out my own cheese because yeah. my mom refuses to buy anything but American yeah. cheese. And I'm, like I said, carny.
Yeah.
Mayo,
yeah.
American cheese.
Yeah, I mean, I love mayonnaise, but it's like, that's another thing. So it's what you're talking about, the mayonnaise. Whenever I order a hamburger, especially at fast food, you know, like Burger King, for instance, last night, I got my double Whopper
and no
I said,
ice.
No onions and no cheese, as I've ordered my hamburger from Burger King for 39 years.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, I know for a fact that I said it.
Right.
I know for, and I know that it ends up on there because it's a factory back there, you know? So before I used to bring it back and I'm like, I can't eat this. Now I can suffer through this because I've ended up with a lot of American cheese on my burgers, almost as I think a direct
punishment,
but just like, you're going to like this. It's almost like, I don't like cilantro, but I feel
but
like
here it is.
Whenever I'm in, like whenever there's catering, everything has cilantro.
But who's
on it.
Doing that? Who's pulling the strings?
See, that's another, it's for instance, I think the, like the cheese situation,
it's my mom.
I definitely know that I said with no cheese, but there could be something where I think I said it.
Oh.
And I know I audibly said it, but I don't know the level of how loud I said it. So they might not have heard it. And then now, since I have to analyze everything with the fine tooth comb, I'm exhausted. Like, I just don't want to be like, I ordered this without cheese because I'm just going to eat the fucking thing,
right.
honestly.
So do you think in a way...
Like, I'm at Burger King. Hello. Like,
right,
I'm,
you can't complain.
I can't be picky.
I know, you can't complain. So do you think, though, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy a little bit? Because they're confusing you and controlling you so much that you're now going, oh my God, did I do this? Did I didn't do this?
It's second guessing,
right.
And it's like how early I was to this thing. I texted you and told you I'm probably going to be late because I had to run some errands between work and then, you know, coming uptown. And I ended up getting here an hour early.
Of course.
Because
then I started
like,
running
and I told
late.
You, like, this is my Xanax. Like, sitting here for an hour and, like, decompressing is what I have to do.
Yeah.
So, and I've, like, kind of taught myself to always just be early so I can be prepared for anything that it's like.
At least you don't need insurance for that kind of Xanax. That's good.
I mean, I had to start smoking pot, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's the only thing that really. You know, the great thing about smoking pot with this situation is when I get inside my head, I could just be like, oh, that's the pot. You're just being paranoid from the pot. And then I'm like, I'm going to go back to my Doritos, whatever. And I don't have to internalize everything. So it's so easy to like confuse and make a person on pot paranoid that I almost did it as a deflection of like, try to make me paranoid. I smoke pot.
Right.
Good
it's
luck.
The pot.
It's
not
the
you
pot.
Guys.
It's not you, huh?
You're
you
know taking what I mean? Power away from it when you
exactly.
do something like that.
Exactly. And it's the one thing that kept me from smoking pot my entire life is the exact reason I'm smoking it now.
Right.
So it's almost like a like reverse psychology on myself.
Totally. Yeah,
sense.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned earlier about going to the neurologist. Did you go and what happened and what were you going for?
I'm done now with trying to get some sort of diagnostics. It's really given me a lot of insight into the system. And now I'm beginning to see it's not where I belong.
Where? Getting help?
Mental health system. You know, I've tried it in every capacity.
But the neurologist isn't mental health necessarily. That could
right,
be physical.
Because I wanted to stop going to a psychiatrist. Or, you know, I went to a therapist. The last therapist I saw emailed me after our session was like, I can't help you.
That's so crazy.
Which
that
it's
they
okay.
Could do
I'm
that.
Glad he was honest. You know what I mean? Because it's like if I went in there, like I it's bullshit detector. Like you can't get any. I yeah. at least believe you can't get anything past me. So, and you know, the entire, you know, room full of people in my head. So between that, it's like. You know, I have a psychiatrist that I go to because I sleeping medication and to get Klonopin,
yeah.
which I don't even need anymore, so I'm done. But like coincidentally, the last time I was there, he was like, what do you do for a living? I'm like, oh, I'm a hairstylist. And he's like, maybe you need a new job. Maybe this is why you're having all this trouble. You're not being challenged. And I was like,
to do Kristen Carney's hair, you'll be challenged. Problem solved.
I was just like sitting across from him and I'm like, first of all, you've spent no more. This is my fourth time here. And I don't even think we spent accumulatively an hour together. So don't even. But it's like a lot of that. So I'm like, okay, maybe I don't need to speak with the therapist. You know, maybe I'm getting a lot of psychoanalytical therapy through this tennis game, you know, I like to call it.
If someone listening to the show happened to reach out to me and say, that guest you had, I'm a professional and I can help them, or I've heard this before, would you be willing to talk to them?
Absolutely. There's no shortage of, I can find people that believe me. You know, I have a really close confidant that I confide in whenever I'm like, things are getting really tough.
And it's not Michael.
No,
okay,
no,
good.
It's like, no, it's an actual person that I can call on the phone and talk to. And, you know, when things are getting really tough and she just lets me vent, and she approaches everything from a very spiritual perspective, from a very otherworldly civilization's perspective. So it's a judgment-free zone. And then there are people that I could talk to about that. Then there's like people who offer advice from spirituality to read this book. And it's like, the thought of reading a book on what I'm experiencing, it's just like, it gets me nowhere. So, you know, who I would be really interested in speaking with would be somebody who works in a field of developing these systems who doesn't see patients, like who works in these neurotechnologies that could off the record just like have some kind of.
Have you ever thought about going and banging down the door at one of these places doing the research?
I went to Columbia and did a study in the very beginning to get an fMRI. And I thought that, you know, when I get that, they're going to see that this is different. Never heard back from them, you know, don't have the results. I, you know, went to this last neurologist and went and had an actual like MRI, which was a couple weeks ago. Haven't heard back. I haven't called to follow up, but it also took me 3 months to get that appointment.
So you're hoping that they'll just say, oh, we found this thing in your head and you didn't tell them about it prior? Well, you know, I feel
But then where's that going to get? But like the only thing that would give me would be a peace of mind.
Right.
And it's like, in the beginning, I would escape from this to drugs. And, you know, I feel like the drugs open the door. You know, I feel like I've been monitored for quite some time. And then once my brain activity spiked, you know, consistently, it opened the door for them to be able to audibly make themselves present. And
so you think they were there before the drugs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But just no audible presence, you know? And, you know, throughout this time, I think I've been to a psych ward 11 times.
Oh, yes. Okay. So tell me, you went to where again?
Well, the first time I went to Bellevue.
Bellevue, right.
It was
a nightmare.
A terrifying experience.
Can you tell me why it was terrifying?
It's
Bellevue, so yeah. You can assume,
It's their CPEP is more of like a capture and release program. It's like people that are having episodes, they bring them in and they kind of lock them in this room all together. It's just like from me to you, I'm sitting with somebody having like a really crazy episode and there's no distance between us. There's no security.
So what if socializing was your problem and driving you insane?
Well,
all of a sudden it's
like
doubled.
The
multiplied.
Wrong fucking place to put somebody who is like experiencing something like this. And I was hysterically crying in this place for 72 hours, like from start to finish. Like the only time I was drinking water was just to be able to produce more tears.
Right,
so it's
right.
Like everything was so terrifying, which it would terrify anybody, you know what I mean? And then to be in that situation of so confused. And like I went there because in my mind, all I had to say to them was like, this is happening. And they'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. What should we do about this? That's in my head what I thought was gonna happen. And then they just kind of looked up from their clipboard and were like,
he's crazy.
Yeah, here you go. We'll take your shoelaces, please. You know, have a seat over here.
Right.
So it was like that. And then, you know, for the first year, it was a lot of me going back and forth. Like I used to call myself like MacGyver because I would just have to figure everything out. And
it sounds like how Mike Tyson would say MacGyver.
Yeah. So,
but you were saying that the reason you don't want to talk to other people that are experiencing the same thing is because you don't want to hear the news that, oh, I've been suffering this 20 years.
Right.
And then you're like, shit.
And it's like everything
I have no hope.
That they describe is like 100%. Or 99.9% something that I feel really connected to, and like, oh my God, this is me. You're telling me my story, and then I get, you know, a timeline for them, and they're like, oh, 20 years. I would lose my shit. But it's also misery loves company, and I think it's, you know,
misery loves miserable company, though.
Miserable
by the way,
loves misery just loves attention, is what it is. So, and it just needs food. So, it's a really slippery slope. It's almost like going through your boyfriend's email. Like you're gonna fucking find something. You know what I mean? Or like reading your horoscope. You know.
Yeah.
It's like you're gonna find something, right. And you're gonna apply that to you and what your experience is, and you're just gonna.
You're looking for something you don't want to see.
You just want to identify with something.
Has this ever given you a weird desire to do something bad? Or have they told you to... There was a guy recently that came out who was on... I can't remember the show, not Breaking Bad, but something like that. And it came out recently. He's an actor, and his arm was severed, or his hand was severed, and he told, I don't know, his casting directors and everyone that he lost his hand in a war or something like that. But turned out he was having a episode of whatever mental illness he had, and he cut it off on his own because he went off of his medication. Have you experienced anything like that?
You know what? I feel like a lot of that stuff had to get out of the way, and it's super... completely benign things like throw a paper airplane off of the roof of your building. You know what I mean? And that's how I...
Those voices are pussies. Okay, good. Well, I like
no,
it. It's good
I
it's
think,
not throw a rock
you know,
off that building.
Because like, what's the difference between telling me to do something and telling me to do something? You know, does it look exactly the same when it comes into like neurons? You know what I mean?
Again, I'm going to have to be high to understand that.
Like that's the thing. It's like, did they tell me to do stuff? Like I definitely have done stuff at their suggestion. I never felt guided or forced to do anything.
What about on your
own?
So for me, when I have extreme migraines, I imagine using an ice cream scoop and scooping out the part of my brain where the migraine is occurring and throwing it away. Do you ever feel like, you know, on your own volition, just cutting out part of your head that's driving you insane?
No, because I mean, at this point, no, I don't think.
So it's
I'd
not driving
to
you to do these kind of crazy out of the norm
no
nutty things
no
that's good
no
okay
definitely I mean I feel like my sense of humor has
like you have Stockholm syndrome with them, like you've kind of
I call it Australia syndrome because in the beginning I feel like, you know, they were really mean and horrible and I would just try to squirm out of the situation and I felt like trying to win over a bully, you
right,
know what I
right,
mean?
Right.
And like all of a sudden, like we
get him on your side. I've always thought if I was abducted, the murderer wouldn't murder me because I'd find a way to be besties with them, and they'd be like, "This girl's too cool to murder."
That's exactly.
I can imagine that.
You know, so it's like a reverse Stockholm syndrome. Mm-hmm. It's like maybe I can win them over. Mm-hmm. I won't. Like this will suck less.
Right.
And it's like, and I still, and I, as a result of it, it's developed this really kind of dysfunctional relationship. So,
I mean, this is so fascinating and I feel sad for you, you know, and I wish I could help you, but I think, you know, you haven't talked about, like you said, you didn't want to talk about the super dark stuff. And I don't want to make you bring this stuff up, but you know, for people listening, this is not, I'm being silly with you, but this is clearly not an enjoyable
experience. I mean, the only way to kind of approach it is to be silly. The super
right, exactly.
Dark
how do you
stuff,
talk about this?
Fortunately, the super dark stuff happened when I was on drugs.
Okay.
You know, in my sobriety, everything has been like really sad. Like stuff has made me very sad. And it's like, I slipped into like a 10-day depression. That
10-day, that's it?
That ultimately made me check myself into Bellevue on my own, like totally sober for electric shock therapy because I thought maybe I could shock them out, you know?
Yeah.
Like maybe I just needed
to. Did you get that done?
Yeah, I did. And it was just awful.
Oh, my God. Again, see, that's why we could talk and talk and talk.
I mean, this is just another podcast in itself to talk about that 10-day experience.
I would love to talk about that. I mean, hate to talk about it, but love to at the same time.
I'm an advocate for ECT. I think, you know, there was...
Even after a bad experience?
The hospital and the psych ward was a bad experience.
Why isn't it EST? Shock.
Rebranding, you know.
It needs a new image.
It's
kind of
exactly,
like,
it's like propaganda, public relations.
Totally.
It's like ECT.
They've got
like,
good PR people.
Yeah. I mean, we're good at that here.
Okay. So, well, we're going to talk about that next time.
Yeah.
Because I really want to.
Okay. Yeah,
but
totally.
Because we're out of time, we're going to do some segments really quick.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I think people enjoy the segments.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's hard, weird to transition from that to trying to do some segments. But we're going to do Cooking with Carney, which is shit that I eat when I'm depressed.
Okay.
Have you ever eaten anything that's like super pathetic because you don't have the motivation to...
I mean, I'm from Florida.
We've already talked about mayonnaise and... Right.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like for me, like if I have quinoa, like that's my...
That's
what
exotic.
Is the matter with me?
No, no to me,
exotic.
That's... See, that,
no, like,
that to me is like the step up.
That's to
like
me
having
is like,
hummus.
I kind of like hummus.
Me too. I love hummus.
I have so many stories about everything. It's
like, me too.
Like
me too.
My hummus story, the first, my introduction to it was working at this bagel place when I was like 18. And the hummus used to, you know, in the cool area, and it was just like in this big vat and it would just like crust up and it just looked like earwax.
Yeah.
And I would just, I promised myself I would never eat that. And then I taste it and I'm like, I love this.
Well, I have a theory.
Chippy earwax looking shit.
I have a theory and I tweeted this years ago. I have a theory that at what age you were exposed to hummus tells you how white trash or non-white trash you are. So I wrote...
I could top this. Do you know that I thought beets were the cranberry sauce from a can?
I did too, for years.
For the longest
time. And then I tried
one.
And I was like, oh, this
isn't sweet. And then I had a real
beet
and I'm like, this is delicious. This goat
cheese.
Oh,
so you liked it.
What is this?
Well, yeah.
An arugula. Like I spit arugula out the first time I had it.
Totally.
Now I love it.
Right. Right. Yes. It's, that's amazing.
What's the matter with this fancy $20 turkey sandwich?
I know.
Well,
the first time I brought wheat bread home, I was like 18 years old, and my dad was like, what is this shit? And so it's like, that is just explains
that
why.
That was the one thing my mom was able to do when she was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. She switched to wheat bread for like a week, and that was like her sacrifice.
Right,
to,
right, right.
That
was her version of being vegan.
She was sober for that week.
Yeah. My mom, I know, gets so mad at me for this because my mom, when we grew up, made great homemade food all the time. Every night we had dinner together as a family. So I wasn't brought up on junk, but I was brought up on the good old American hearty kind of comfort foods.
Yeah.
You know, gravy, mashed potatoes, corn on the cob and all that kind of stuff. But as an adult, I've practiced zero good habits in terms of cooking on my own. So I eat shitty when I'm not depressed, but when I'm depressed, it's even worse.
Yeah.
So for this week's Cooking with Carney, I thought I would talk about the time I ate pizza out of the garbage.
Like Costanza.
Yes, like Costanza. I went back in. So I justified it because it was on the top. So this was actually at my parents. My mom wasn't there.
I mean, it's just...
Really not that bad if it's on the top.
But it's like, you know what's in the garbage. You know what I mean?
It's just my like, family. I know what's in there. No one's like throwing, you know, like needles from the streets of Seattle.
But
in
it's
there.
Like, it's using your boyfriend's toothbrush, kind of.
Yeah,
like
totally.
It.
Yeah.
It's like, you know where that toothbrush has been.
Exactly. I mean, you think you do until you read his email.
Fucker.
But I went in the garbage, took out the piece of pizza because I said to my mom, where's the slice of pizza that was in the fridge? And she was like, I threw it away. And then she left.
Like, I'll see about that.
A few hours later,
I'll
I was like,
you.
Oh, yeah, the pizza's in the garbage. So I microwaved it, but this...
And that definitely killed everything.
Microwaving just makes it terrible, but I'm too lazy to turn the oven on.
Pizza voices afterwards with all those microwaves.
Oh, yeah, right?
It's the pepperoni talking.
<That's>
it's not indigestion.
That's the sausage. Michael's the sausage. But the only other time I did eat something out of the garbage... It's so embarrassing, pathetic to talk about. I was in high school and I went home for lunch because we could leave once we were, you know, in like 9th or 10th grade, you could leave for lunch hour. And I drove home and I remembered we had ranch dressing and I didn't know about things spoiling at that point. Like it just didn't occur to me. I think I was slow.
With buttermilk, so they just already spoil it for you. That's
right.
It tastes so delicious.
Right, right. So the ranch dressing was in the garbage and my friend and I were at my house for lunch and I was like, oh yeah, we have ranch dressing. It must be in the garbage. I pulled it out of the garbage, put it on my salad, whatever was left of it. And then like an hour later in class, I had like food poisoning. and started having the world's worst diarrhea. And I was in the high school bathroom on the floor, basically violently shaking from. So
that
I learned.
Sounds like a Tuesday for me, to be honest.
Tuesday morning.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday at lunch with Maury and Kristen and Wesley.
Oh my God.
So anyway, that's my only other time eating out of the garbage. And I shouldn't have learned my lesson because of the food poisoning, but I knew it was just plain cheese pizza and then I would be okay. So the directions for this week's Cooking with Carney, if anyone wants the recipe, is be at your parents' house, be too lazy to cook. That's step two, because your mom isn't there to cook for you. Go to the garbage, grab said pizza, put it in microwave. That's step four. Hit 30 seconds on the microwave, voila, you have
It's like the 30-second rule. So instead of the 5-second rule, it's like the 30-second rule.
It is. Okay, so the next segment, who's sadder? So who's sadder? Because you've listened
Saturn?
To
Saturn? Like no, the planet?
No.
I'm just kidding. Okay. The shitty car from like
Right, that is the saddest. Okay, well, that's actually a good who's sadder.
Saturn or a Kia?
Yes, oh my God, okay, love this.
A Mitsubishi Eclipse or a Saturn?
I'm going Saturn all the way.
I'm going Saturn too, because I was jealous of Agnes in high school who had a white Mitsubishi Eclipse. So yeah, I'm going with Saturn.
Yeah, well, I go with Saturn because a friend of mine in college had a Saturn that was, it was so cheesy. It was like a neon green and it had a spoiler on it. And this was like 2001, but it was probably like a 92 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think she drove that for years and years and years. And to me, it was just the saddest. It was like,
it's like you don't even bother to clean out like the floorboards.
No.
And it was giving a ride to somebody. Right. Kinda sad.
Yes. And like you assume there's Mountain Dew cans left in there, like you mentioned earlier. And, it was, two-door, which, yeah. I mean, come on, two doors. We're not back
it's
to
like
the future.
Why bother having a back seat if you're only going
to
have
yeah,
two doors?
Yeah, and you expect me to bend over like that to get in there? I mean, in the bedroom, but not for a car. No, just kidding. Okay.
That's what tramp stamps are for. It's like to cover the bruises from climbing into the back seat of a Saturn.
I love that. Hitting your back up against the spoiler. The spoiler is called a spoiler because that's what it does to my mood. I hate spoilers. It spoils my mood.
Oh my God, I'm so sad.
All right, well then that was a good who's sadder. I didn't like what I had anyway.
What were you going to say? I could sleep.
It wasn't very good. Who's sadder? People who are poor in New York City or people who are poor in the suburbs? Just because I'm here in New York City right now.
I feel like in New York City, you're always going to be poor. No matter how much money you have.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have more money than you. Like, at least in the suburbs, like...
It seems
more
even.
That girl you go to school with whose dad is a proprietor of a McDonald's is like the richest person in the neighborhood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like you're always going to be the poorest in New York, no matter how successful you are.
Well, because I'm staying at my friend's place right now, I've walked in and out of the building and I have said hello to the door guys and a couple of people in the elevator have talked to me. And the perception they must have of me, because this is a nice building that probably costs a lot of money to live in. It has doormen.
Yeah.
It's on the Upper West Side. And I could never live here, but the perception, I think, of people seeing me here, they're like, oh, a successful girl.
It's almost kind of like
a lie.
A test of like, you know, I'm covered in tattoos, so it's really like how nice is my outfit? Is it stopped by a door guy?
Right.
Like status? Or it's like, they just let me walk to the elevator without having to sign in.
That's why I texted you, because I knew you had tattoos.
I didn't get stopped.
Yeah, well, because you're so good looking.
Oh, thank you.
You're so good looking. And if you were not gay, I would be harassing you right now.
Thank you.
And I actually sent your picture to my friend and I was like, if he wasn't gay, you have no idea.
But I am single though. So
okay.
Just like if anybody's into
I could recruit you to our team.
It's like into being like gay and a polyamorous, but like no physical aspects of the polyamory.
Right. Just it's someone to just watch like, a movie with.
Yeah. It's like, if I'm laughing in the kitchen, you know why.
Right. And it's because I'm telling you very funny jokes because I'm your girlfriend. Okay. And then the last thing is F that shit. And I wanted to talk about this guy who convinced his wife to commit suicide so he could open up a church with the money like left over from her death, like her life insurance policy. And
so it was like kayaking, basically.
Like
that kind of, sorry.
Like kayaking, like in a boat, in a
thingy
in the water?
Like, I feel like it's like if you were to invite me out kayaking, I would check to see if you took out an insurance policy.
Oh, yes.
You know
absolutely.
I mean?
Like going on a hike. Yeah.
Yeah,
like is there a cliff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I push him off of it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for doing this and for being so open.
I'm so
open.
Excited that, I mean, this is kind of the first time I've yeah, this is great.
And you never know, you might connect with
yeah, absolutely.
Somebody and have a quote-unquote fourth voice contacting yeah. you to tell you that they also have voices.
Absolutely.
So if you guys want to share the show with a friend, please do.
Yeah.
That's how I get more listeners. And if you rate and review the show, that would be lovely of you. It'll give you good karma points. And yeah, that's it. So check out patreon.com/mentallychill if you want to support me in the show. It makes the show possible. And other than that, remember, stay sad enough to listen, but not too sad. Bye, guys.